We are awaiting the minutes from the last FOMC meeting. They are due out today at 2 p.m. Eastern time, although we have a good sense of what will probably be the headline here, and it will have to do with the expansion of the balance sheet that will not by any means be called quantitative easing by Fed officials. Joining us here in our Interactive Broker Studios is Phil Blancato. He is Chief Executive Officer for Ladenburg Thalmann Asset Management Funds. And I want to start there, Phil, the idea that the Fed seems to be poised to expand the balance sheet in short order, according to what Jay Powell said yesterday. But this is not necessarily part of any sort of easing. Do you buy that?
Well, I think he said clearly this is not QE profoundly more than once, actually. I agree with that. For a minute, I would give the Fed credit on this front that we took a $3 trillion balance sheet and reduced it down to 1.4. And in that process, there were going to be some hiccups along the way. And I think this is the one thing we can point to, that they got to where they wanted to be. They want to where they the right amount of cash on hand to be backing up the reserves, backing up the banking system. And now they've reached where, okay, we probably went a little too far to the tune of $150 to $200 billion. And then that would solve this problem. I don't think there's a systemic problem. Also had a little bit of the calendar involved. Also had a little bit to do with how much banks are willing to loan to each other. So the Fed's doing what it's supposed to do, which is fix these disruptions in the market. I'm okay with what happens, and I don't think it's a big deal.
So, Phil, the expectation is that the Fed will continue to ease maybe at the end of this month. A counter argument, however, might be, you know what, do they really need to? The economy's, you know, doing pretty well. Yes, we know manufacturing's weak, but the consumer's still hanging in there. Isn't it better to save our ammunition for later if and when the economy perhaps weakens further in 2020 or 2021?
Yeah, to the chairman's comments yesterday that the U.S. economy is actually pretty good. There's nothing hot in the economy, and I would agree on both fronts. When your consumer is gainfully employed at a historical level lows of unemployment, you're seeing wages, albeit a bit modestly, but still going higher. It's hard for me to understand why we feel this dramatic need to cut. To your point, save it for later. Now, I would say, when the Fed funds rate is higher than the 10-year, that concerns me. I'd rather see those flat. Why? I want to see more stimulus on both sides of the curve, not just the short end of the curve. So for that reason, I could see another quarter point coming out. That makes sense to me. But beyond that, why use up that ammunition? Now use up that firepower when you might need it if something drastic happens down the road.
So what are you buying right now?
That's a great question. For me, I still want to rotate towards, first of all, in your equity portfolios, we're up over 20% or near there on the S&P 500, give or take a point or two. Take some profit. I think we've forgotten about rule 101. You're in October. You've made a lot of money. Take some money off the table. Then rotate towards two places. First, short-term fixed income is yielding over 2%. That's a panacea right now. You're doing really well by hiding out in your short reserves. Nothing wrong with waiting for this to resolve itself, whether it's the tariff battle or something along those lines. But add to that, where your opportunities are, you could still go into that staple sector, albeit carefully, and find those quality names that are going to earn you income, whether it's a Costco, whether it's a Walmart. You could even look at something like a tech company that's got a value bent to it, like a Microsoft, or even to a degree, Apple, who has had really spectacular data come out recently, but you're getting paid a nice dividend. So that's where you rotate now.
So, you know, we have the trade delegation from China coming into Washington. The negotiations start tomorrow. What do you think the market's kind of discounting right now as it relates to trade? Because that's been one of the big issues that's been whipping the market around.
One of my favorite topics. I think there is this expectation that this is going to get solved in the blink of an eye. I think that's really a reach. There's just too many moving
components. I don't know too many people who are actually expecting an easy solution at this point.
Well, here's why I think that. Look at the market's reaction just today. I mean, granted, today's a light volume day, but we watch these crazy minuscule headlines and we're up 200, down 200. And I'm saying to myself, there must be some enigma of people out there that think that this is going to get solved instantly, and it's just not going to work that way. Whether it's the election cycle, whether it's China wanting to solve this on intellectual property issue, or it's just what the next president may or may not, all of these components, I think this is a multi-year issue, not a multi-month issue. And for that reason, we're going to be stuck with this for a while.
I want to ask you a question that I've been thinking about all morning, which is, at a time of an everything rally yet again, it's not a comfortable everything rally with a lot of rotation under the surface, but if you look at the averages, it is a very strong performance nonetheless in bonds and equities. What's the argument as an active manager at that point when the Fed's basically backstopping markets, suppressing volatility, and forcing people to do things that they're uncomfortable with and into assets that are going to keep rallying even if they shouldn't be?
This is Behavioral Finance 101. My gosh, we're up 9.5% on the ag, nearly 20% on the S&P. Take your money off the table. Be thrilled you made this kind of money this year and rotate to a neutral position because of the point you made. Whether you call this a Potemkin market, whether it's financed by the Fed, artificial earnings, it's time to take some money off the table.
Yeah, but the Fed is still going to be backstopping the market over the next couple months and into next year. So my question is, you could take out, you know, your money, but then when you put it back, it might actually be at an even higher point, right?
Neutral, not overweight. The answer to that is don't go underweight, go neutral. And by that, you're right about the Fed, but I don't think the Fed could stimulate enough to really drive us higher. The reality is that the canary in the coal mine here is, do we get a business recession that impacts unemployment and causes consumer confidence to erode? So far, it hasn't happened. And if it doesn't happen, we're going to trade along in this bound for a while until we get a catalyst higher or lower. And for me, I don't want to take that political or that economic risk. So neutral is a lot safer than overweight.
We are coming up on earnings starting next week. It's something we haven't talked about, probably because there's been so much more on the macro front to talk about. But earnings outlook isn't that great. I don't think the earnings necessarily are something that supports equities. How are you thinking about the equity markets going into earnings?
The most important earnings season in 3 years. Simply put, this is the one that matters. This is the gorilla. Because the first two we got through, whether they ratcheted down expectations or we somehow surpassed it, and I'm less worried about the E, I'm more worried about the revenue side, the sales side. If we can get positive sales momentum, +2%, +3%, we're going to survive this. Because then we get into the fourth quarter of the year, we get into last year of the presidential cycle, which tend to be stimulative. Fourth quarter tends to be a big buying season, as we all know, holidays, Santa Claus rally, blah, blah, blah. So if we can get through this earnings season, we're going to be okay. But the key is, if we go negative on sales and earnings, it could be very problematic for markets. I could see us giving back a good 5 to 8% would not surprise me at all.
Phil Blancato, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate you coming and sharing your thoughts. Phil's the Chief Executive Officer for Ladenburg Thalmann Asset Management Funds, braving the rain here in New York City, and joining us here in our Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studio, giving us some thoughts on the markets.
Yeah,